Oof.
No, no, thank you. And here we go.
Welcome back.
There it is.
One more time. Episode number 19.
Number 19.
Ooh. 19.
This podcast is legal.
19.
It's coming in.
It's 18, coming in. 18. I just learned. I just came back from Bonaire. I learned papamiento. You know what papamiento
what
is? Papamiento. I didn't make it up. I swear. Papamiento is half Portuguese and half Spanish.
They just interesting. Mix it together.
Papamiento. It's beautiful because it's nothing but I was in Bonaire. Mm-hmm. It's a Dutch place, right? So nothing but tall, blonde, blue-eyed, white people mm-hmm. speaking papamiento.
Interesting.
It was awesome, man. It was awesome. The anyway, heck? That's what they say. It sounds like Jesus. Jesus says, Jesus says, Jesus says, Jesus oito, Jesus novi.
This novi episode. What
novi.
Episode in papamiento.
19.
Teaching new languages here at the Premium Advantage. Always talking about travel. Today is a very special episode, super special episode. My perception, Jacinto has been talking about putting this together for some time, several months, and now it's coming to fruition. Today I would like to introduce you guys, Mr. Fat Tony.
I made it.
Thank you very much, man.
May I cuss on your program?
Do your thing, dog.
I'm in this motherfucker, Fat Tony, live from Third Ward, Houston, Texas, which we are basically in right now. We are on the border of Third Ward, Houston, Texas, as we speak.
Yes.
It's interesting that you asked the question about it. This whole thing also includes another layer with regards to freedom of speech. Right. Freedom of speech. We have a shirt here, Mr. Benjamin Franklin, some of the shirts we're promoting. Chito's a comedian. He speaks his mind. We have to be able to express ourselves in a way that we feel comfortable so that the message comes across.
Absolutely. We're all artists, right?
So I would say... let's get some information going from everybody so that we understand more about you. And that is the basic thing of this whole thing, is to expanding our resources so that other folks who don't have potentially access or everybody's schedule is crazy, get some reality from you. A little bit of information that they could not have done before that I have a little piece on just from listening to Jacinto and watching your YouTube videos, which, by the way, nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you. Being watched on YouTube.
Yeah. Yes. So do we.
Yes.
Oh, we also like subscriptions. Subscribe.
Please subscribe to our channel.
Subscribe.
Everybody subscribe.
Share it with a friend. You know what? I would say to all fans of this podcast, each episode that you like, share it to two friends.
Yeah.
Yep. If you love the episode, share it to three friends.
Yes.
And if it's an episode you think everyone with ears needs to hear, share it to five friends.
Yeah. That's it.
Each episode that you feel that way about. And let's make this motherfucker grow.
Yes, man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Organically, like too. Beautiful.
So, Mr. Fat Tony, if you would not mind.
Versa, right? I was also raised Catholic.
Okay.
And so I get this birth certificate and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, we just never told her what your name was. So this whole time I've been living a lie.
You forgot to tell me too.
Yes.
Wow.
And I never knew that Obi was short for anything. Yeah. I never knew about any of this. But I think that this is a story that's common for many people who are first or second gen, who have parents who wanted them to live a life that's more Americanized and really strip away some of their culture.
Yep. No, it's like that for me. My name is Jacinto. I mean, on all my paperwork. As soon as my mom realized it's going to be tougher for me, she changed it to Jason on all my paperwork.
Really?
So all my friends from school, all my like my classmate, everybody knows me as Jason, but my real name is Jacinto. You didn't hear that story about there was a guy, it went viral. He was trying to get a job and he couldn't get it. His name was Jose. Couldn't get a job. Then one day changed it to Joe. Started getting hella calls.
It's so whack.
But it was just, it's like my mom was always like, you got to play the game if you want to win it, right? That's something Picasso says. You learn the game like a player so you can break the rules like an artist, you know? Yeah.
What do y'all feel about that idea of playing the game? I mean, I guess we're kind of talking about playing like American game of looking a certain way, being a certain way so you can rise the ranks, which hopefully is the end goal of some kind of comfort, right? What do y'all feel about playing the game?
I think it depends on the nature of your intent, what you're trying to accomplish by playing this game that everybody's playing. It's like, whoa, I'm trying to, you know, so there's a bunch of options for you. It depends, and you can let it take you to the wrong path easily and quickly, because it's like, you don't really need to play any games. I don't have to, why are you so depressed over this game that you don't really, you don't have to play, right? And it's not that I'm playing the game, more like society is playing this weird little game. Everybody knows it's there, but you know, we kind of go, okay, you know what? Let's do it. Let's put our value up front. Let's create the content that people are looking for and try to stay with regards to the comfort levels to some degree. But it's not just comfort. It's not. I mean, even though it is some parts of it, it's also about creating value for future generations and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's because it's weird for a long time. And you hear these crazy situations where it's like, hey, I'm just trying to live peacefully. You know, and you see there's some folks that don't want to live like that. And
sure.
There are some values that I adhere to that other people do not care about that, could not care less about that stuff. And I'm like, well, I kind of, you know, have to be involved, return your value. And so that, I think that's some of the game. It's not a game, but it's more like a survival situation kind of. You know, it's like a survival little game in different aspects of society. Deep question. Nobody's asked these questions before.
That's a great question.
Super question.
I mean, I'm curious because it's something that we all come up against.
I think the game itself has kind of changed because of social media. I mean, with respect, I'm coming from it from a comedian perspective, right?
Sure, yeah.
In that back in the day, if you wanted to make it as a comedian, you gotta hit the road, you gotta get a sitcom, you gotta get on the Tonight Show, right? Like all those set. But now with social media and TikTok and I mean all these platforms. I'm doing my thing right now. I don't need that stuff, right? So I can grab on some tours. I can go make some money easily on my own now. So it's like the game has shifted, but you still have to kind of know some of the rules here and there because of the shift. I mean, that's just from the comedian perspective.
Yeah. Right. Totally. I mean, I agree with you as an entertainer. You know, the old model of you're doing stand-up, building a buzz, you have to get a sitcom. That was such a thing 20 years ago, if you didn't even have something that went to pilot, you weren't shit.
Right.
Now you could be a great entertainer and go from social media to sold out tours with no TV appearance, no movie appearance, maybe not even having a serious agent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that is fascinating because I had a situation like this recently where I have a co-manager who wanted to introduce me to a new music producer. And I really wanted to meet this person. But my co-manager was like, well, your current label deal, I don't feel like they have the right funding that I think this producer is going to want. So I'm not going to introduce you yet until we find another, you know, deal for you. And I'm like, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm a human being. I just want to meet this guy.
Right.
Just see
your
vibe.
Like, right. Like,
and I kind of feel like you're gatekeeping me, even though you're doing what in your mind is reasonable for my business. And it really bugged me. It got me down. Mm-hmm. And then I was on YouTube randomly. And of all people, I came across a Jamie Kennedy video.
Okay.
And he was talking that shit about how he's done X, Y, and Z in entertainment,
brought
in hundreds of millions of dollars,
and
has a full team. Mm-hmm. But still, it sometimes takes him being the one reaching out to get a role.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me. It's like, damn. Even though I have some great management, I can't forget what got me here. Let me just DM the guy.
Yeah.
I DM the producer. Right. Turns out he's a fan of mine.
See?
This motherfucker flew to LA, had dinner with me, and now we're making a project, and now we're getting our management involved. But it just reminded me of, oh man, I can just go do my own thing.
Yes.
But that couldn't happen without the world we have now, the internet and being able to reach out. Back in the day, that conversation would have ended with the manager saying, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And I would have to find this guy's address or something.
Some avenues not to communicate.
Exactly.
To reach out. You know? You have to be consistent. You have to be polite.
Yeah. I mean, you always have to be kind.
Right.
No one wants to work with somebody that's
that's a big one, too.
Right.
That's a big one in comedy to the point where you go to a comedy show and the opener sucks. And you're like, why does this opener suck? It's because it's the headliner's homie.
Yes.
He's friend. That's why. It's like, man, but he's such a nice guy. He couldn't help put him open, even though it's like a national tour, and he's bombing in front of thousands of people. I got a question for you about the Eric Andre show.
Sure.
So I know you haven't seen it. So I'm just real quick. It's Eric Andre is a comedian.
Okay.
He's real out there type of comedian.
Sure. I mean, show.
The show is a prank talk show.
Oh man.
It's a prank talk show.
Yeah. All right. Yes.
Where the guests have no idea, and to the point where some of them are so funny.
Are
where
the Jerky Boys?
No, that's a different type.
Okay.
This is a couch like Tonight Show.
Gotcha.
Maybe the closest comp to it is like the Tom Green show.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
But like he'll mess with the guests and they won't even know. Like for instance, he'll have like a interview for like 2 hours and the AC's not working. And they're just dripping in sweat. And they only show like 2 minutes of that whole thing, which makes them be all, you know, like it's just crazy. Anyways, there was this, I saw you on it. He has this, it's like an obstacle course.
Rapper Warrior Ninja.
There you go. Rapper Warrior Ninja. And you have to go across this thing and he's just, and he, I think he was like with the cattle prod.
Yes. That was an interesting day.
So tell us about that, because that is just crazy, man.
Dude, it was actually one of the craziest days of my life. So first of all, the premise is that the rapper has to keep freestyling while they're going across the obstacle course.
Yeah, gotcha.
And you can't stop.
Gotcha.
If you stop rapping, punish you more.
Keep rapping.
You should watch this after this clip.
Oh, yes. We'll put a link on it.
Yeah, we'll put a link on it.
But anyway, dude, so I get to the taping. First of all, my lawyer went to high school with Eric Andre.
Okay.
So he knows him intimately. And Eric is one of my good friends, too.
Okay.
And my lawyer stopped me and was like, I want you to know that the contract says as soon as you get on the premises, they are allowed to tape you. So if you're in the bathroom, changing room, just keep in mind that there might be cameras on you at all times.
On some jackass shit. I like
on
that.
On some jackass shit. Yes, bro. So I get there, and you know how they, like, if you watch the season, every episode has a different segment with different rappers on it.
Yeah.
When I taped, they filmed us all the same day.
Okay.
So I walk in and it's like a fucking music festival.
Oh, okay, wow.
Talib Kweli, MERS, JPEG Mafia, Danny Brown, Lil Yachty, Zach Fox, Kuko, Freddie Gibbs. I mean, every rapper's there. We're all there at the same time. Wow. And they're also getting us drunk as shit all day.
Wow.
And then when it came time for us to do it, it was me, Freddie Gibbs, and Kuko.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked Eric, I was like, yo, so tell me, do I need to do anything for, you know, should I play it up? He was like, dude, just act natural. Some of these props are fake.
So I'm like,
all right.
Shout out to Eric Andre.
So I get up on it. I'm hanging from the fucking ceiling on some strings, right?
Okay.
And they're like throwing stuff at me. Eric comes up and hits me with a can of road spray. And I'm like, whoa. And then I look and he's like, yo, don't worry, it's fake. It's fake. I'm like, oh, all right. So they're throwing toilet paper at me. Then a dominatrix comes out, spanks me.
Whoa.
And then Eric comes with the cattle prod.
Yeah.
And the cattle prod's real. So I'm like, wait. It's a mix of real and fake props. Also, the whole day, there were just strange things happening. Like you'd be talking to a producer.
Yeah.
And then, like, a guy in a clown costume would just walk by staring at him. Like it felt like the whole set was meant to psych you out.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's awesome.
The entire set.
Oh, my God.
And then the craziest part, as I'm spinning around, they open a door, a chair turns around, Steve-O from Jackass, who I hadn't seen all day, and he's throwing real tennis balls at me just over and over and over and over. And then they drop me, and then it's Freddie Gibbs' turn. And by this time, I probably had like four tequila sodas. I was out of
tequila sodas one.
I was fucking out of it. It was fun though.
Dude.
Did you rap the whole time?
I mean, they hit you more if you stop rapping.
Yeah.
And you're so right that they film more.
Yes.
I was just in the writer's room for this new season.
Oh, cool.
And we watched a whole interview with someone, and it's like an hour of them being a torture.
Yeah.
And we're just taking notes on, all right, what is the best bit that we can pull out?
I saw something there that was like Stacey Dash's assistant. They had her like way on the other side of the building, so that Stacey was by herself.
It's a huge building, too.
Yeah, and so they intentionally hid her assistant on the other side of the building so they can mess with her. And oh man, so there's a new season. So that's good to know. You got to check the show
season
out.
Season six coming soon.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, man.
And it's crazier, actually, with more famous people on it. It's crazy. I don't know how people keep doing the show knowing that it's... Because we were asking... Like,
isn't it the bad publicity is good publicity thing? Yeah, they're just trying to get something. I don't know. I have no idea.
People lining up to get...
I wouldn't do it because I know I'd get...
People lining up to get kind of prodded, and then we're like, hey, virtual reality episode.
Dude, and that's kind of mild. That's mild. He's done crazier stuff on the show.
Kuko got his legs waxed. It can get worse.
Dude, I'm just thinking of so many shots. That show is hilarious. You got to check it out.
All right, cool. Check out that clip.
I have a question about one of the things that took you to the top, or at least like made you go viral, is that Neon Moon video. Mm. We're gonna put the link down there so y'all can see it. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
mix, man.
It's such a great mix.
I'm curious about where it came together in your mind when you're like, putting this thing, blah, blah. You
yes, because it's genius if you ask me, man. That's so great. So, how'd that come about?
So, how it happened is there's a bar here in Third Ward called Third Ward. Emancipation. Well, the bar is on Emancipation Avenue, which used to be called Dowling.
Dowling, yeah.
The bar is called The Spot.
Spot.
It's like a dive bar. It's been around there for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of bar that I'd go to in my 20s and run into people I went to middle school with. You know what I mean? It's truly a neighborhood bar, right? Mm-hmm. And the crowd is mostly middle-aged folks.
Okay.
So me and my friends were like the few people in our 20s there. Most folks there are in their 40s and 50s, right? I went there on a Monday night once. It was pretty empty. And they were mostly playing like soul music, a lot of throwbacks, right? And then the bartender was getting friendly and she was drinking with all the customers. And she was starting to have a little bit more than a good time. The DJ puts on Neon Moon. The bartender gets up on the bar, starts dancing on the bar, singing it, and everyone in the room singing it. Granted, it's about 20 of us. It's a small crowd.
Nice.
But that moment really struck me because it reminded me of when I was in high school, and my godmother taught a line dancing class, and would have me make the mix CDs for it.
What? Your grandmother?
No, my godmother.
Oh, your godmother. Still.
Godmother. And she would like.
That's cool.
And like the mixes for it would be like, you know, blues songs, country songs, Zydeco songs.
Yeah.
And Neon Moon stuck out because my dad only listens to country music, right? Oh. And I remember that being a big hit.
Wow, a Nigerian man that loves country.
I mean,
that's beautiful.
I mean, that's a whole story special. Too. I mean, country music is huge in West Africa.
What?
It's huge.
I had no idea.
Let's
huge.
From Tanzania at the premium of that.
Wow.
Huge.
It's not aware.
Anyway.
Good to know.
So like, in that moment of watching the bartender dance at the spot, it reminded me of my godmother and those mixtapes. It reminded me of my dad being a kid riding the backseat of his car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started making that blend.
Yeah.
Now, I made the blend because I have a song called Hood Party. That's about gentrification.
Okay.
Yes.
And I like to speed that up to about 100 BPM, which I call like the Bay Area tempo.
Sure, sure.
So I was like, you know what? Mixing Neon Moon with the Too Short song, Blow the Whistle, that'll be kind of a cool way to segue into my Hood Party song.
Mm.
So I started doing that at all my shows for years. For years, maybe like...
The Too Short.
Yes.
Okay.
The Neon Moon and the Too Short mix was my intro
to my Hood Party song
all my shows for maybe like 4 or 5 years.
Is it because just like a similar BPM or you just... Okay.
And just vibe and just kind of like... I just felt it was good storytelling of who I am.
Do you mind if we play some of your music?
Absolutely. And it was going on for like... years, and then this one day, the clip that went viral is when I was at South by Southwest 2019.
Okay.
It was the first show I played as soon as I landed, and I felt the crowd was kind of dead.
Yeah.
The sound wasn't that great. Yeah, this is the Hood Party music video here. Kind of a futuristic video. Shot it right here in Third Ward at the homie's house off of Live Oak.
Really, hey man, I want to shoot this music video.
Don't forget, folks, you can turn your phone around. If you don't have virtual Oculus, it's the best way to watch this. With the Oculus, you can see our beautiful studio. But if you don't have it, you can just turn your phone around.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Continue.
But so that day with the viral clip that you saw, that was me at South by Southwest, my first show of it, 2019. It's not going well. I felt like the crowd was kind of dead, and I felt like I was kind of dead because I just flew in from Brooklyn and I was tired as shit. And I ended up going into this mix because I felt like, you know what, let me go into the part of the show that really pleases me.
Yeah.
You might get this as a performer. Like when the crowd ain't really there, but you know you have certain like jokes that please you to tell them.
Yes.
This is the part of myself said when I was like, you know what? I'm doing it for me.
Word. Yeah.
And my homeboy took a video of it, posted it, and everybody went crazy. But it's amazing that this is something that, you know, one thing I love about this clip is it's so me because it has such ties to my family, right, to my history,
right,
to my own taste in music.
Word, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense why it resonated with people to me.
I was out in San Francisco, and somebody was jamming it, and then I heard the mix, and I'm like, what is that? And then he was like, oh, man, look at that. And he showed me his foot, and I saw you. And I'm like,
what?
Dog, and I was actually, you know where I was? I remember exactly where I was. I was outside the Punchline Comedy Club in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I had just done a set, and I was just chilling outside, and the dude was jamming. I was like, oh, that's Neon Moon. And then I heard that. I was like, blow the whistle. I was like, what is that mix? And he showed me, and I see you jamming. I was like, dog, I know that guy.
That's so crazy.
And he's like, oh, man, this thing's going viral. I'm like, what? Yeah, I'll never forget that.
What,
man,
a crazy moment.
That's, yeah, I know, right? Wow. I'll never forget that, dog. I'll never forget
that.
Like,
what?
Yeah, because I had stood outside. I was standing outside the Punchline forever. It was this comedy contest, and I got in. I made it to, like, the next round.
Dope.
We're just outside waiting forever, and I heard this. I'm like, I was like, what is that, dog? And he showed me. I'm like, I know that guy.
That's so crazy.
Like, you know him? I'm like, yeah.
That's so crazy.
It reminds me of Hood Party. Speaking of Hood Party, I don't know if you remember, but it was when I was living in L.A.
Yeah.
I was working at 24-Hour Fitness, and Hood Party came on the loudspeaker at the gym at 24-Hour Fitness. And I was like, what is this? So I put my app to listen to the song, and it came up, and I was like, oh, my goodness, man. I was like, it's in the gym, son.
I mean, these are things that might not mean a lot to some people, but they mean a lot to me, because as an artist, my fight is always to get out there. So to hear about these real life moments where people are just experiencing something that I made, I think that is beautiful.
Yeah.
So this is Roberto's favorite song of yours.
I would say most entrepreneurs have a way of connecting with this particular story for this guy.
Really?
In the sense of that, guy is a deep risk taker. A little too intense, I would say.
Absolutely.
Right? It's the story of a guy that's like, man, I'm going to keep moving in it. I'm going to keep trying.
He failed in crypto and all that.
Yes.
I can understand that if I kept going in a direction where anybody could end up in that scenario with regards to gambling, your risk taking.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not necessarily.
Man, y'all heard the mariachi version of
that's the one actually song that I found. That's the one I found.
Oh, man. It is so beautiful.
So talk about that. Can you with the mariachi?
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you get that going? Like and that outfit is so sick, man.
The casting, like, you can do castings? You have to go through the castings, right?
I mean, this is a real band that played on the record, and I used one of their
outfits. Had to interview them. You had to find them. You go, hey, I'm doing this rap song.
Well, actually, man, just let this rock a little bit.
Where is that?
That's in Tucson, in Arizona.
Tucson.
Oh, look at this story. Good, man.
Left with a dollar and a lotto ticket, got back in the car and went back to the block. Now we in the house cooking up in the pot. First it was stuck, then we
crossed, but
they both failed. He ain't bail, could have invested in his APD, passed on it. When it blew up, he was like,
doggone it.
Trying to make an app, but that backfired. Amazon made one and it was more fire. You can bet he ain't turning down nothing but his college. Even if it down to his last damn dollar. Wife came to him, said, this ain't cute. You need to go to a support group.
Oh, wow, beautiful. Man, so tell us about the mariachis.
Man, so...
Gambling Man.
So, Gambling Man, this song was really inspired by a Merle Haggard song that I love called Jimmy the Broom.
Okay.
That's about a guy who's kind of a wanderer who, like, left a life behind that obviously brought him some unhappiness. And when he died, his friends didn't know who to call. He had no next of kin.
Wow.
They only knew him by this nickname, Jimmy the Broom. He was the janitor at this bar.
Okay.
And the song is kind of a mournful song. It's like wondering, like, oh, man, what was this guy's life like? What was he running from? You know what I mean? And when I was in the studio, my producer Goldeneye turned to me and was asking me what I wanted to make.
Shout out T. Cruz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I told him, that in my mind, I see a lonely man in the desert. Mm. That was the image I had. So I started with that, and we built out the song.
And Gambler that's why you Man. Did it in the desert also?
Yes.
Yes.
So Gambler Man's about a guy named Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not necessarily a bad person. He's right. not necessarily a good person.
The Gambler Man.
He's the kind of person who's always chasing a get-rich-quick scheme, whether that scheme is lottery tickets, crypto, starting a startup, working on an app, selling weed, just whatever it is that he thinks is going to get him to his dreams, right? And it frustrates his wife.
Yeah.
It frustrates his friends. As you see in the video, he just kind of goes about his day just dreaming, just like thinking about what could happen next.
Yeah,
correct.
And I wanted to tell that story because it resonates with me as an entrepreneur, as an artist, as someone who is
Don't go so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Don't go so far.
Somebody who's like trying to forge their own path. And the reason for the mariachi version is I felt like mariachi music is so fitting to storytelling. Mm. You know what I mean? Because some of my first images of that outfit is in like early westerns, right?
Word.
Stories about, you know, a man that's like a wanderer, the lone wolf.
It's always someone, that classic story.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Someone who's like leaving a world that like hurt them, but they're searching for something. And I just thought that musical accompaniment would just make the song even sweeter.
And it really does, man. It really does. I mean, I'm Mexican as fuck, and I love some mariachi music. But when you put it together with some rap, man, it's just like poetry, son.
Thank you. Yeah. Damn, I appreciate these questions. Y'all asked about some real shit.
Yeah, bro.
We appreciate you, dog.
I see the songs, and I connect with them, right? I connect in those levels of the, I mean, like I was at the casino in Louisiana. I was gambling.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily win. I always put experience as my...
I learned. I like how you said that. I didn't necessarily win.
But I had a good time.
And I got in, right?
I got in with no ID. The lady went to get some. I'm like, you know what? Just limit your losses, I guess. That's the deal. Who are we getting at? Oh, and then the other one about the midnight snack, or what was it?
I got you.
Drive-through.
Drive-through.
There's a scene in the drive-through video where I'm like eating a French fry with this girl and like
French fry.
Kind of like the movie with like the dogs, like that, the pasta.
Lady in a Tramp.
Yeah, like Lady in a fucking Tramp. I just ran into her on the fucking street last week.
What? And
I was like, I haven't seen this girl in like years. I was like, what the fuck? Where is that scene?
Yeah, this scene with this guy.
It was just her right here. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, man, this is a fun video.
I think it was earlier, it was up here somewhere. I remember it.
Oh my God, I'm fucking tripping.
Look at you, dog. Look at you. Look how young you look right there, too.
Yes, dude, this one 2015.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Wow, bald head, wow. Brandon Wardell, he looking young, too.
You shot this in Houston?
Yeah, Houston and in LA.
Oh, nice.
Now, Whataburger, so how'd you do with the Whataburger?
Yeah, dog.
Yo, what I like about this video
is this is a
true look into my lifestyle.
Hell yeah.
Straight up.
This is his lifestyle right here.
This is my lifestyle back 2022.
Save this on your playlist. This is Tony's lifestyle right here.
Damn, that blogger was kind of bad too. Oh, shit.
See that.
My boy Sean.
Dog. Oh, so y'all did an In-N-Out too.
Oh my God. I used to date that girl. Wow, this is like a time capsule.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't watched this video in so long, bro.
Oh, that's great. This is great.
Beautiful.
So this was his first when I was like, hey, check out his music. And he was like, oh, I love this one. And I was like, dog, this is classic, man.
This is classic. We tripping. Wow. My G. I was on one back then. It was so much fun.
So what resonated with you about this one?
We go to Whataburger. I used to hit up Jack. Well, I don't have Jack in the Box.
We all do, dog.
King, all that stuff. You know, that there is a song out there for that experience. It's good, man. It's on point, too, you know?
Damn, y'all are making me feel good, man.
Check it out.
I made a lot of shit in my life.
Yeah, dog.
I forgot.
Yeah.
This is it, I think.
We'll gonna find that clip and put that in there so y'all can see it at the
yes,
bottom.
Yes, dude.
It's good stuff. You don't want to watch. You'll be singing a little bit, and it's just, you know what I also like? The tune, the flow. It's not super fast. It's one that you can kind of catch on to relatively quickly and understand. You know what I mean?
Wow. Now, can I tell you what my favorite song of yours
Please
is?
Please tell me.
My favorite song, this is something special because I don't know if you remember this, but I was there when you wrote it.
Is it? Ooh.
So this
Probably
was
from like Double Dragon.
Yeah, from Double Dragon. Mm. So this is. I came over to the house. Mm-hmm. They were all partying. We came over to the party, and he was like, "Man, it was a joke at first, like the way you were writing it. And you kept laughing because the way it came out. And then when you dropped it, right? I think it was that week. So because y'all were writing that whole album in that house, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember when you dropped it, we were there, and you were like, "Dog, this turned from something funny to something just sick." And for me, it hits hard because of the beat.
Wow, White Flood. Wow, bro. I have a story.
This
about
is it. My favorite song of his. And there's a lot of reasons why. I feel this so much because this happened to me.
Really?
Yeah, I saved a girl from a horrible situation and all of that, man. Okay. But also, this is a Lil Kiki Southside beat.
Yeah.
You know who Lil Kiki is?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, man. I met Lil Kiki before. I mean, I used to go to Screw's house and buy tapes. Like, this beat was almost like, man, this is the type of beat where you could talk about Mexicans and I'd be like, yeah. He'd be like, fuck Mexicans. And I'd be like, yeah, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that good. And I just like, it's kind of like songs that like women love that they're talking horrible about women. They're like, girls are like, yeah. That's how this song is for me, man. So you was
oh my
you
God.
You were writing this and you were laughing. So if you don't know, this song is about a girl getting in a horrible situation,
domestic
getting beat up,
violence.
Domestic violence,
gotcha.
And that Mr. Tony comes to her rescue.
Wow,
Mr. Tom Cruise comes to her rescue.
Oh, wow.
But I was, man, I was hoping for the video on this song, man.
Man,
like, this is my favorite
you made a
song.
Video for this song. We fucking should have.
Can you tell me about this song,
dude? You know what's crazy? South by Southwest 2013. After like maybe 6 months after this came out, I met this girl who was a fan of mine who I recognized from Houston. And she was like, yo, I just moved to Austin and I love your Double Dragon tape and I love this White Plot song. And it actually really inspired me to get out of a bad relationship.
Look at that.
And I was like,
look at that.
I was like, tell me about it. She was like, I had this boyfriend back in Houston who was like, she was like part of the music scene, so I might know who this person is.
Wow.
And and she was like, yo, he was like really jealous. He like didn't want me hanging out with like guy friends.
Wow.
He like wanted to be with me if I want to go to shows. He used to hit me, and finally he pushed me down this down the stairs this one day, and it just really hit me like, yo, if I don't get out of here, something worse is gonna happen. And I remember thinking about your White Plot song. And she was like, it was a song I thought was kind of like funny at first.
Yeah, because it is. It's the way you say stuff, but it's real.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, such a good song, man.
She's like, yo, it inspired me to get all my shit and move to Austin. And she started like crying as she's telling me this.
Wow.
At the merch table. And I'm just like,
that's powerful.
I'm just like, wow, I can't believe something that we thought was like, I mean, granted, we like made a song because we don't agree with this type of behavior.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
But I would have never imagined that a young woman would hear this and it would inspire her to get out of a situation.
Man,
like that.
So that's even better.
Crazy.
I like that song even more now. Now, the other reason
one talks to me about this song.
I know.
Crazy.
I'm a weird one, dog. I have a very strange, I'm just strange.
That's
but anyways,
so
the other thing I love about this song, and this is something that I want to preach out to all artists. This is something coming from a music lover, a music connoisseur. I recently started playing guitar, so I feel music a lot more now. Is y'all let the beat ride on this song.
Mm.
And I feel like a lot of artists lately, especially because they're trying to do the TikTok quick,
right,
they'll cut
they
songs.
Cut it, right.
And I'm like, man, I love that beat.
Yeah.
Can I flow a little bit?
Let it breathe.
I'm not Mr. Tony, but I'm from the South Side and I can flow a little bit.
Yes.
And I love the beat that I just let the song play a little bit. Just y'all, everybody shut up, let the beat go, and let me flow a little bit to that. It just, that's what I love about this song, man.
Damn.
So, mad love. I appreciate
Thank
this song
you,
so much, man. Yes.
You know, this is one of my most most hip-hop songs because the beat is just GoldenEye as a DJ blending two records together. Yeah. It's the Kiki record and it's the R&B record that Magic 102 is always playing that's about how like tonight's the night. That's the name
of it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I didn't talk about. They used to play on the Magic Storm.
Yes, bro. The whole beat is just those two records. Wow. Nothing else. Now that's hip hop.
That's hip hop.
I think we added some like drums to it too, but it's basically just like a DJ. Come on, man.
Come on, man. That's what every time I hear this song, I'm just like, come on, that's just too good, dog. Shout out T. Cruz, man.
You know what? All of this brings a lot of questions. Like
bring
so em. Many more.
Ask bring them.
So many more actually, because.
Damn, I got a diverse range of shit. I got.
Well, that's all the questions thank that I have, bro. Right? Like, I mean, this talent, you acquired it somehow. Somebody taught you. How did you learn how to play music? Where did you know music doesn't where did
study,
it come from?
Study.
How did you
study? A lot of people. Man, growing up, I would read books about music, movies about music. Oh. I always had older friends who made music or were fans of music, I'd ask them a million questions.
Yeah.
I always just try to be a student of music.
Oh, really?
Even now.
Yeah, well,
you're live in the desert, man.
This is also in Arizona?
Yeah, man. I just feel like the desert is just such a beautiful place for storytelling.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Take a look around the room, y'all. Yeah.
Beautiful. You know, I have a VR music video.
Whoa, really?
Yes, for my song Feeling Groovy.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to put that up. Feeling Groovy? We're going to put that link on here.
Yeah, check it out. It is a 360 cam video where you can look around the whole thing. And I have Easter eggs everywhere.
Oh, Easter eggs. Nice. Okay, cool. Look for those.
Can we get to some segments now?
Sure. We got a couple of segments that we're working on.
So the first thing I want to shout out is that we have this jersey. So remember, folks, the 200 subscriber is going to win that jersey right there. It's a very, very hard item to get.
Yep.
I've been guarding it with my life. People have been trying to break in my house and get it. That's how good it is. All right. So we're going to make sure that the 200 subscriber gets that. So subscribe.
Tell the others to subscribe.
Yes.
Tell us to subscribe so you get it.
Having said that, we have our first segment that is brought to us by the BrunchComedyShow.com. BrunchComedyShow.com. August 14th. You going to be in town?
I'm not
going to do it. Oh. So August 14th, we have a big comedy show. We're going to have another one September 18th.
No.
So we're going to have one pretty much every month. We're slated. It's going to be televised.
I'm going to come to one of them. Guaranteed.
Yeah. We probably have you perform on one of them.
I would love to.
Yeah. You heard it first.
I would love to.
This segment is called Eso. You speak a little bit of Spanish? You understand a little bit? Do you know what Eso? Have you ever heard that before?
No, tell me.
So Eso is something that Latinos say, especially Mexicans, say to each other, and it means explain that, please.
Okay.
So we usually say that like when you bring a girl home to Thanksgiving or something like Eso, mm-hmm. and you have to break the whole thing down. Where you met, how you met, what's she talking about, like everything, right? So Eso is like an all-encompassing, like tell me the essence of that whole thing. All right. So we found a couple of your old tweets, and we were just wondering, Eso?
No.
yeah, I know, right? I know.
So.
Hello.
What's up? Just a rapper.
Eso. So how did this come about that you, I mean, obviously we're all Houstonians and Selena fans, but how did you...
You have a song also, Un Beso.
Un Beso, yeah.
Yeah. Selena has a similar song, not a similar, but like
so did you do this? One of your fans did this? Or what is this?
I did that. What? I did that. I fucking woke up one day in like 2019, and I was like...
2019?
I have to go to Texas soon. Maybe I should call my homegirl who does makeup and is a photographer to do my makeup, and I'll buy a costume and dress like this... You know, album cover that I love. I'm a Selena fan to the core. I fucking love the shit out of her.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I feel like her music, a DJ, anywhere that I play in Texas, to any crowd, any type of person, her music always gets the biggest response in every room. I swear to God.
Yes, man. Absolutely.
From like here to California, biggest response for any DJ.
Absolutely.
And I just thought that it'd be something cool. I feel like it's like a way to nod to other fans.
Break.
You know what I mean?
Break. Sorry, stop. I don't know why. I've been keeping up with it, but it just stopped right there.
Yep. All good.
Talking about Selena. Stop the recording. Check the battery.
Damn, great podcast. Y'all got some fire questions. Yeah, dog. No,
we do our research. We take our time. Yeah, man. We have to. We've had politicians on. We had a NASA scientist.
Dope.
Nutritionists. Comedians. So that's why we gotta really make sure we stay on point, because it's also respect to the way I see it, man.
I totally agree.
I have y'all here for a reason. We want to make sure that our number one goal here is to promote you.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what we're doing, a damn good job. I feel like anyone that listens to this, they can be curious about me.
Exactly. Right.
And you got good stuff. It's fun.
Absolutely.
It's fun, man. It's what it's about. Okay, here we go. All right, Selena.
Wow.
The last thing we talked about. Hold on.
White House has declared a public health emergency.
Oh, we got news coming up if you want to talk about it. Over what?
Yeah.
Wow. Over what?
Monkeypox.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
What's your time frame like, man?
I honestly got a dip at 4:30.
Right, okay. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we got it. It's perfect.
That's perfect. We're right at the end. That's perfect.
The episode's an hour max, so it's perfect timing. Alright, it looks right. We're talking about
you watching the VR one?
I'm still looking through your stuff right now.
Oh, okay, dope.
We're talking about Selena. I love Selena.
Ask me about these tweets, man.
Whoa. Yeah.
Okay.
What's up?
So this girl was taking pictures of me on my using my iPad. Uh-huh. Are you recording?
No, yeah.
Okay.
Watch out! That ain't for you. Hey,
but she was taking. Look at this, dog. Like, she was taking a picture of me in the tub.
You're silly. You're silly as hell. You're
I was like, I'm gonna make a Prince album cover.
You're having too much fun.
Yeah, dog. Sorry. I just saw these for the first time, man. I'm tripping. Sorry. Wow. But I gotta thank her for that titty pic. That's great.
Yes, for sure. Salute.
Sorry about that. Comedy life. Oh, hey. Everybody out in podcast land, make sure you tune in. I forgot we're recording this audio, too.
All right, here we go.
My bad, y'all. Hey, but it's great. You know what? The audio people are going to get a lot more than the video people now. So y'all need to subscribe over here now. We're on all platforms, y'all. We're on all platforms. Audio, visual, virtual reality, everything.
Okay.
Whenever you want.
Oh, my God.
Selena. Yes, definitely.
Who doesn't know Selena?
I love Selena. I had to dress up as her because I love that album. I love that album cover. Okay. I feel like that album cover is the most iconic one of hers.
Gotcha.
And you know what? I got to show my support, man. Yeah.
It's good. That's another layer of the appreciation that I have for your work. Yes. When I was like, oh man, Houston stuff, connect. He's all over the place. Oh, that's good. I really appreciate that, because those are similar efforts that we're on. You know what I'm saying? Local environment, expect here. There's all other bigger fish, and it's like, hey, we gotta support each other.
So you're very active on Twitter. I love it, man.
Oh, yeah.
So I got one here. Next ESO.
Yes.
So brought to you by brunchcomedyshow.com. Mm-hmm. This is you tweeted this on March 18th, 2021.
Okay.
Do y'all ever just want to leave the USA?
Mm.
And you got a lot of retweets and likes and all from this one.
Good God.
So what were you talking about? What was going on in your life right there? What was that one about? That's an interesting topic. 2021. It's do y'all ever just want to leave the USA? And I just came back from Bonaire. I have an interesting perspective on that. Mm. Go ahead.
So I was in Mexico City at the time, which I used to live in 2016. And that was the first time that I ever lived like more long term outside the US. For like more than like a week or two. Mm. Granted, I only lived in Mexico for 6 months, but it started like a relationship with Mexico. Mm. And I go there often, not just to that city, but all through the country.
Gotcha.
And while I was there, I was thinking about a song I had just made called Ain't For Me. That's about a family, a father and his family, facing that choice of, should I take my wife and kids and relocate out the USA because I'm kind of not feeling the way our country is handling human rights, especially towards black and brown people and women. Yes. And damn near every oppressed person in this motherfucker that ain't just a white man.
Right.
And I tweeted that because as I was sitting in my Airbnb, well, it wasn't an Airbnb, it was really my friend's apartment that she rented for me for cash.
Nice.
But I was just thinking like, man, what would my life have been if I had just stayed here in Mexico instead of coming back to the U.S.?
Mm.
And I just wondered if anyone else felt that way, because most of my life, when I brought up the subject of leaving the U.S., most people I knew were really against it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
My mom is kind of a worldly person. She studied German. She went to school in Munich. Mm-hmm. She is always encouraging me and my girlfriend to get out of the U.S. She's mm-hmm. she's like, y'all should leave, or if you can't leave full time, at least have a place that you like to go some of the time.
Yeah.
Just to clear your head yeah. out of the mess of being an American.
Totally.
Not only that, that's an appreciated message yeah. all the way around, in the sense of you get a different perspective.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
learn and you bring other cultures and other, when you have those experiences, you bring it back, which is typically positive whenever you take trips.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You learn something, you bring it back, you add more value. And that's a wonderful thing that that message conveys, which is go out somewhere else, don't just stay here. Another reason is to get news, to get information. How do they portray us?
It's right. Big thing. Yes.
How do they portray, hey, what do you mean Absolutely. We're the ones that, oh, you mean, oh, that's how people talk about us? I was thinking everybody else was crazy. Oh, y'all think we, people, you don't know what people are saying until you go over the places and you get that info and you go, oh,
man, oh, we're flipped up too. Damn, oh, we're flipped.
Oh, I thought it was perfect.
I just came back from Bonaire. Shout out to the Via Carina Apartments on Bonaire. If you ever go to Bonaire, they're the most amazing couple that run this place. Mm. They told me something crazy. And I mean, it was the most weirdest compliment I've ever received. They said, you're the best guest we've ever had.
Oh, really?
And they said, you don't act American at all. And I was like, thank you? I wasn't sure how to take that. Like, yeah. y'all don't act American. And that's what I think. I was like, man, Americans are really that bad. That we come, we go places and we demand things and we
just take.
AC, yeah.
AC is not at 77 degrees, 88 degrees or whatever.
The yeah, temperature. Yeah. Every little thing. And I was just like, man.
Is that what it is?
And that's what they told me. Like, that was my compliment, that I don't act American. I was like, wow, thanks.
Take a fucking time.
All right,
can I say
Absolutely.
Thing about
what
that?
You got? What you got?
Because there was a recent article in the LA Times about Mexico City and about how
I heard about that.
There's
yeah.
tons of foreigners, mostly from the US,
right.
who are moving there to be digital nomads. Right. They have a remote
yeah.
job
yeah.
and
yeah.
they're squeezing the yeah. life out of the fucking city by crowding the businesses that are normally patronized by locals,
okay.
and they're causing rent to skyrocket
right.
to the point that my friend that I lived with when I lived there yeah. is trying to move to the U.S. because he can no longer afford to live there in
Digital
Mexico City.
Digital nomads are taking over Mexico?
Mexico City, yes.
Digital nomads.
And I have something to say about that, because when I lived there, I started a monthly party called Function. Which was a hip-hop party where I brought U.S. artists, mixed them with Mexican artists, and put on a free concert simply for the purpose of promoting rap and hip-hop culture. Because all my friends there told me that rap is kind of the minority here. Everyone just likes rock and like electronic music, right? And I started getting booked there, but all the promoters were like, man, you are kind of like your compliment.
Yeah.
They're like, man, you are so cool. Most Americans don't want to come here because of the currency exchange. They don't get paid as much. Mm-hmm. There's bad press about Mexico, and they come here and think they can just boss folks around,
wow.
and it's a total vacation. And I wanted to make a change and do something that was actually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really implore anyone who is a foreigner living yeah. in Mexico City right now to don't be like that. Don't just take, don't just fucking demand.
Yeah, yeah.
Make a point to be part of the culture.
Yeah, similarly.
One of the best pieces yeah. of advice I ever got there from another American friend there, when I started my party, she was like, make sure that you not only put on Mexican rappers, but you work with Mexicans on the business side.
Yes.
Because my business partners were me, American, a Puerto Rican guy, and an Argentinian guy. This white American lady was like, no, you need to get some Mexicans on your team if you want folks to take you seriously here.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and I think it helped me out tremendously. Mm-hmm. And the woman who I hired to work with me, who was just starting out in this business, she was like a PA working at a music festival, basically an intern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now she works for Universal. She just moved to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and she's like, you gave me my first shot in entertainment.
That's cool.
Oh man, that's the kind of things that I love. That's what it's all about, right there, man. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Amazing, man. Good stories.
That's beautiful.
Great stories.
I got one more ESL. Okay. Last one for brunchcomedyshow.com. This was from June 27th, 22. It's pretty recent. And you and I communicated on this one. That's why I thought this one was interesting. You put a poll out there. Wait, let me ask you. Okay. Which song goes harder? Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó?
Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó?
Or Un Millón de Rosas.
Un Millón de Rosas is a good song, man.
Okay, which one goes harder is the question.
I would say Un Millón de Rosas would go
harder. Why? That's interesting. Because I mean, you're in the minority.
Yeah, is that right?
Dude.
67% to 33%.
I don't know. I just the beat, the way that it goes. I don't really know the whole song.
But so your gut tells you.
Yeah, you had a great point, though.
Yes, and that's why I wanted to bring it out, right? So I said it depends on the crowd.
Yeah.
So second generation, like Texicans, yes, like, hey, baby, que pasó all day. But first generation Latinos are going to like Rosas. And then you replied to me, that's great insight. Rosas probably hits harder if you loved it when it was a hot new 90s song, right? And for me, it's kind of like the translation, right? So like second generation, third generation Texans speak Texican, we like Spanglish, right? So that's why Hey Baby, ¿Qué Pasó? Is very Texan. Versus Un Millón de Rosas has a lot more proper Spanish in it. So it's a little bit harder, not harder, but they just don't want to necessarily jam it as much. But that, I thought that was interesting.
Dude, and I made that poll, to be frank, because I'm planning to cover one of those songs. And I was debating between the two because the Roses song is what I love. Like, that's that song sends chills down my spine. It just reminds me of being a little kid, right?
Nice.
But the Hey Baby, ¿Qué Pasó? There's this white dude that I'm working with on this project, and he was gunning for that song. And I was like, man, I wouldn't really think of that song. Because in my mind, that's kind of like a cheesy song to me. You know what I mean? It's like a song that I'd hear at like a happy hour bar like some oil and gas fools. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I was curious to see what just the people think. And when they voted that, I was like, wow. I mean, I got to go with what the people want. But your insight, I think, is so interesting, man. And just the way that language changes from generation to generation, I think it's something that we don't really think about. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Lingo. Well, yeah, it's happening also. Like with my kids, even. Like talking to my kids, I'm like,
oh, really?
I know you're saying something. And you think it's cool talking to me that way. I think your kids are changing the way people talk. little bit at a time.
Wow, double up. So
this video here, do you remember?
Yes, I do.
But do you remember that I'm in it?
Where are you in it?
I'm in this video, dog.
Show me.
So it's funny because...
By the way, we made this video 12 years ago.
Oh, yes.
No, 10 years ago. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I forgot we had a house scene. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were fighting. Remember, they were fighting in the back right there by the canal behind the house.
Oh, my God.
And I just happened to be there. We were all partying at the house every day.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be there that day. And then... look, this is my favorite one. Look, there I am in the back. T. Cruz is right there. He's about to poke my nose.
Wow.
And then there's me looking like Carlos Mencia.
You were my like trainer or something.
Yeah,
in the video.
Well, I was. Remember, and then in the video, look, that's snapshots that I took of the video. But when they're fighting and they're training.
Oh my fucking God, bro!
That's my equipment, like the jump rope and all that. Remember, I brought all that stuff. Yeah, so it's a video where these two girls are fighting. It's like a pay-per-view.
Anybody have any workout gear?
Yeah,
bam,
oh my
exactly,
God, dude. I haven't seen this in so long.
There you go.
All right, so this lady here, that's the homie that used to be like a tour manager for GoldenEye's old group, and now she's married to our boy Murs.
Wow!
Wow! And oh my God, bro.
Yeah, dog.
And then
who's she?
This girl here. She's from DC. I met her back in high school through the internet, and we
the internet. We
used to talk about music, bro. she would send me go-go music, and just the other day I had a meeting about a movie I'm working on, and the dude brought her up as she told him about me back in the day.
And here we are talking about it right now.
And I haven't seen these people in years. Isn't that crazy,
man? That's just how it is, dude.
I forgot.
That's how life is.
Because you know what? Hold up. Never go ahead. Pause.
Do your thing.
So there was controversy with this video.
Why?
That's why it's the director's cut.
Oh.
So our label paid to shoot this studio shot, right?
Okay.
We got that video back and we were like, man, it's kind of boring. We'll put our own money up to add a storyline to it. And that's where we had the fight scene, the stuff at the house, that like opening intro scene, yes. Right?
Yeah, that.
We turned that in.
Let's go to that intro scene.
The label told us that the featured artists hated this one and they won't approve it to come out. And they're
these
only,
guys hated it?
Yes. That's I what thought they it was said. Dope. That's what they said. The label said that those guys hated it, so they're only going to drop the studio version. That's the one that went on YouTube, and we put this one out later.
Really?
The one that most folks saw was not this one. It's really? Like just us rapping the camera.
Wow.
I hit up their manager, and they're like, what are you talking about? They never showed us the video. We actually are seeing this for the first time, and we love it. I go back to my A&R. He goes silent on me. The next week, he gets fired. He's going to rehab.
Wow. Whoa. Apparently, see, that's my gloves.
He had a drug problem and was bad at his job and lied and kept this video from coming out publicly because he didn't like it.
What?
Yes, wow, bro.
That's ridiculous.
Hater, you had a hater in your team?
That's
you
crazy.
Had a Judas in your team of sorts.
I mean, he was
way to bring that back. Very good.
Bro, that's, bro.
Yeah, that's my jump rope right there.
You gotta watch out. You gotta watch out.
Shout out to my jump rope. Back. I still have that jump rope, by the way.
Good rope.
Yeah.
I love you, man. Thank you for,
being
a part of this.
I was so happy to be there too, man. Look, there I am right there in the white jacket. I brought that because I did like a quick, like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. But we didn't keep that part.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man.
Damn, we were all so young and
hell yeah. I don't have no facial hair.
I was like 23 when I made it.
Yeah, dog. We
crazy.
All were.
Crazy.
Time flies, right?
Damn, fool.
Yeah, it looks good, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah, the video that folks saw was only this stuff.
That sucks.
It does suck.
The rest is what makes it, man. Girl fight is so good, dude.
I mean, we were pissed to the highest of pistivity. We was gone.
What's hot now?
Pistivities. Man. Yeah, man. Now those are clean cuts too, man.
I'm about to put this back out.
Look how beautiful that scenery is too, man. Just because of the California
right
sun,
on the
you
LA
always
River.
Get the it was sunset too. I mean, dog, I love this video. Not just because I'm.
Yes, they're fighting over a bottle of Grey Goose.
Yeah, they're fighting over a bottle of Grey Goose. That's kind of how the fight started, I think, or at least that's the premise.
We was tripping.
Yeah, dog. That was the premise, I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there I am. Woo.
Wow, dude. Wow.
Storyline.
Yeah.
This is amazing, man.
That's great, dude. Oh, that's beautiful.
All of these videos available on your channel, correct?
Yes. Fat Tony Rap.
FatTonyRap.net. Yeah. Where else? And so what else you got going on, man? We can promote you. We got a few minutes left.
Man, here. I have a lot going on. I have a long tour. I'm pretty much on the road from right now until Thanksgiving. If you go to FatTonyRap.net, click on tour on the left-hand side, you can see all my dates. I'm going on tour with this band, Weedus, who have the hit song Teenage Dirtbag from 20
Teenage
years ago.
Dirtbag.
That is going to be funny. Man, I'm just getting it in, man. I have a lot of projects, like probably like both of y'all. I have a lot of stuff that is in the works. Some podcast, a TV show, a film I'm working on with Eric.
Yep.
And I just finished a new album. So I'm pushing all this stuff and seeing what these next 2 years are going to be. You know what I mean?
Are you still doing stuff with the Suffers?
I just finished tour with them.
So I saw you in Austin with them.
Yes, that was a wonderful show.
That was an amazing
show. And I'm actually
show.
Playing with Cam this Saturday at Axelrad.
Oh, it's free.
Free concert at Axelrad. It starts at 8 p.m. Oh, okay, Cam cool. Franklin plays first, then Lucas Heaven, then Fat Tony at 10:30.
Man. I'll be there.
Free show.
I'll be there.
Pull up. I promise you it's going to be special because me, Lucas, and Cam all grew up together here in music.
Nice.
I lost my fucking virginity to Cam's best friend.
Beautiful.
Like, we go way, way back. And this is our first time all three of us playing a show together in maybe like 8 years.
Beautiful,
with all of us there. So
awesome.
And it's free.
Awesome. See, Axelrad, I'll be there. And shout out to Axelrad. They also have a comedy night there. I think it's on Monday.
Axelrad's dope.
Monday night, my boy Jeff Joe hosts a show there. It's a really good comedy show there. It's a showcase too. Man, Axelrad is such a great place, man. That's awesome.
And it's run by great people.
I know that
before we continue, guys, sorry, we got 2 more minutes before you gotta go.
Yeah.
We got 1 more second to go through with our last sponsor. Last sponsor, the Premium Advantage.
Premium Advantage.
To get it in, you got 2 more minutes to go. If you're an entrepreneur in Texas and you're interested in growing or starting a business, we have a business membership for you that'll help you do your taxes, help you with financial planning, tie you up to Jacinto and workout classes if that's something that you're interested in. It's a full streamline model so that you can help your business go at today's speed in the market, okay? The section for today is it good news or is it bad news?
Good news or bad news?
And I'm just gonna do the easy one. Is it good news or bad news?
All right.
The Mega Million hit $1 billion. $1 billion last week. One singular winner. Is this good news? Is this bad news? What's happening? $1 billion?
It sounds like good news, but I think it's bad news. Because it could more money, more problems, like Biggie said, right?
More money, more problems.
If you look it up, there's a trend of people who win the lottery and commit suicide.
Yikes. Oh, we gotta be careful.
There's a big trend of that.
Be careful, yeah.
And money, more problems.
We had it about money. Money does something to people. There's all of this situation.
Family changes. Yeah. Friends might change.
Yeah.
Your husband, your wife might change.
Yeah, right away.
Your kids start asking for more shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your answer? Bad news?
I would say bad news.
Yeah.
Because also, the taxes on that are gonna be crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
The taxes are gonna be like $500 million.
Yes. I want all this.
Everything.
I gotta get back.
Have
it.
Nah, yeah, dog.
I'm half a billion? What? You don't want to give that up. You don't want to give up. So don't put the B on it and just give me like $200,000 and call it a day.
Somewhere in there.
I got some.
Give me somewhere between $250 million.
$250 million, yeah.
You don't have to have $1 billion.
Pay my debts.
I'm down with that. I want that.
Live happily forever.
That's wise.
I got some. All right, well, that was our last segment sponsored. I believe we're in a timeline with regards to where we were at.
Thank you, man.
If you guys have any questions or you guys want to join and subscribe to the channels, all the links are going to be there. The songs, the links are all approachable so that you can connect with it. It's the whole nature of this. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be listening to all your successful stories, man. It was fun.
Mad love.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good time. Bye.
Wow.
Man, I wonder what happened. All right, people in audio land, thank y'all for tuning in. Love.